So, we first of all like to thank all of the assembled dignitaries, invitees, and all of you students who have come from far off distances, some close by, especially in this season, being the rainy season, the unpredictable one. So, this is a topic in third in succession from what we had first. We had first to inaugurate this series by His Holiness Radha Swami Maharaj, who gave a topic on prena 2 months ago. The topic was Vedic solutions to climate change. The second one was by later to be followed by ecological intelligence by His Grace Madan Gopal Prabhu, where he gave many sensible ideas how one can intelligently understand the system, personal, social, and cosmic, universal. I was inspired to continue this theme, but rather in the light of a contemporary and present day circumstances. I would admit that this session would not be not much of philosophical. It won't be much of many ideas, many concepts. But simple way, that's why it's said down to earth. Everything is just simple. Everything is clear. Needs no interpretation. If you have just the right mental balance, I hope everyone is, if you can see things as they are, then you don't need to you don't need to tax your mind, tax your brains. You don't have to decipher, you don't have to interpret, you don't have to reason too much. This session is going to be interspersed with a lot of clips from various documentaries that have been presented by people from various parts of the world, contributing to the current scenario that we are in. And when I was just going through some of these documentaries, the first thing was, it was a little depressing. The second was that, because spiritualists, especially in the line of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, would have a clue, would have an escape route, would have an alternative to all that is going wrong in this world. So, nothing much to be afraid of, nothing much to be scared of. Please do not miss or do not leave in the middle of the presentation, or else you will think that the world is going to end soon. Or the world will not end, but we will end soon. So please do not, it's a disclaimer that I just happened to present it just before I begin this presentation. None of these views are personal. Everything that is present in the first part of the session is going to be down to earth, all for all of us, all going to affect or everything related to all of us. But the back to home part will be your decision, your initiative, and your determination. If a person would just know all of these things and would just sit back, Prabhupada would call that as goats lined up for slaughter. But the goats are very concerned with the green grass that they're getting now. So be like the plan makers of India who make a 5-year plan. Right? So that at least think 5 years ahead now. Consider giving T is equal to zero and W, the world, is equal to what we see. Then T is equal to 5 years. what will be W and what will be I is equal to, in that T is equal to phi and W is equal to the equation that will come as a part of this. You could say it W is equal to X T, that is X could be the exponential factor, X could be a linear factor, or X could be an unpredictable factor. So, I would start this presentation with a very thought-provoking story with which His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave to in this context. There were a group of monkeys who were in a garden of a royal palace. They were the pets of the royal king. And this monkey, there's a wise old monkey. And this old monkey happened to see something which others didn't see. And he saw that the cook, the chef in the kitchen of the king, king's palace, was cooking, and he became angry, and he became angry at the sheep. The sheep came and interfered in the cooking of this chef, and as a result, the chef became angry and threw a hot piece of burning wood aimed at the sheep. The sheep barely missed being burned by that burning wood. The wise old monkey called a meeting of all the monkey citizens, and he said that today a historical thing has happened, a very important thing has happened now, and if we do not respond to this situation, we will have to face dire consequences. All the monkeys said, what's the problem? Was it some kind of a media hype? Generally people find. We'll talk about that too. But the monkeys said, what is the problem? So simple. I saw this thing happening and it's a great danger for all of us. I said, come on. That's between the chef and the sheep. What has to do with us monkeys? We are having a nice time in the trees. We are back to nature. We are not in that industry. We are not in the civilization. So why are you bothering? We are ecologically intelligent. We don't enter the kitchen. We don't interfere with someone else's business. We don't poke our nose in someone else's business. It's a simple thing. Next day, the sheep are that wild. They are that nosy. They will go back. Once they have escaped, they will become proud that I have escaped, so they will go back. And this time, the chef will really aim that well, because the burning log of wood is very fiery. The wool of this sheep will catch fire. The sheep will become in anxiety, will run in anxiety, trying to douse the fire on its body, will go right to the horse's barn close by, where the king's favorite royal horses are there. The king loves his horses more than sheep and us monkeys. That's the understood. That's the conditions. And that's why he said, he will try to douse the fire by jumping into the dry grass. The dry grass is going to catch the fire, and the whole stable will be on fire, and the horses that are tied will also begin to burn, so much so that the royal palace attendants will come to know soon. They will come there. By the time the horses have already been afflicted with the burns, they will be severely burns. What do you call in medical science? Severe burns? Third degree burns. So they will call doctor. Of course, there will not be any MD at that time. At that time, there was Ayurvedic physician. So he would come and he would recommend not Bernal. Or not, he would not say that we would need to remove the skin and implant another skin from some another horse. So, no surgery. He will just impart an age-old cure. And that age-old cure is, take the fat from the monkey's liver and apply it on the bone of that horse. Monkey said, what is the problem? What is the big problem? You give a very nice story. You just scared us. I thought really something is going to happen. Hey, come on, this wild horse monkey has just gone nuts. He has nothing to do in life. He's just sitting and thinking unnecessarily. See, we are working so hard. We have so much to earn. We are maintaining our families. And here he is telling to leave this place. This place will be dangerous. Ha, useless. Okay. So, it's simple. Their palace attendants will go to the king and say that monkey fat is required. So he will order that the palace monkeys should be immediately be caught up and killed. And their fat should be used to cure the horse burns. Well, monkeys said, okay, we heard it enough. We will do something about it. We will see it. We will see when it happens. Next day, guess what happened? The chef was cooking. Then the sheep came. Yes or no? Yes. This time the sheep came back again. And what happened? Next. The chef threw the burning log of wood. And then? Caught fire this time. And then? And then? And then? And then? Dot, dot, dot. It so happened. Finally, the monkeys were caught. But the wise old monkey had already left the scene. Not because he was selfish, because he was a visionary. He knew that his vision was more important than the so-called busy mission of these so-called monkeys in day-to-day life. Just taking a little bit of going back 35 years, one such great visionary at this time, on that time on the planet Earth, His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and he told, this civilization will not last long. We said, come on, at that time America was at the peak of civilization. The industrial progress was at its peak. It was booming. This Srila Prabhupada said in USA, standing there on that soil, on that American soil. He said, soon this petrol will be finished. And we said, petrol will be finished. How can we see whether petrol is, how much petrol is there? Even if our tank also, we can't see how much petrol is inside. Unless actually we see that marker. And Indian cars don't show the real marking. Somehow or the other, cars are imported, but the roads are Indian. So, anyways, they get association of these kind of roads and they don't survive that long. So, somehow these people, Prabhupada told, this electricity and petrol, this is artificial necessities for man. Grow your own food. He said, come on, grow your own food. So much is available. Why do we need to grow our own food? Wise old man. That time devotees thought, wise old man. Very good. He's a wise saint. But yes, he says the truth. This time, at least these devotees were American disciples mostly, and Indians too. Prabhupada gave this blueprint 35 years ago. And now, when I happen to see a lot of these things happening around, visualizing now, if there was no visionary like that, maybe one monkey, two, three monkeys, four, five monkeys, if they survived back, they would have given testimony. That monkey was a visionary. And that's why you got a story. Some monkey survived. Isn't it? So who are the ones who will survive and tell the story of the previous, of today's civilization to the next generation. Some people who are going to listen to that wise old saint. So I leave it up to here from now. The journey begins, and this time the journey begins from the sky. Therefore, this is very important to know. A very cryptic American native proverb. We have not inherited the earth from our ancestors. We have only borrowed it from our children. It takes some time to get this. Because we have to come down to earth. So it's very down to earth in the sense that whatever we extraneously exploit, exhaust, we pull out the resources, they belong to the next generation. Because we have overdone it. We have overused our quota. As Ishopanishad says, there is a quota fixed for everyone. But we are exhausting the quota extravagantly. Therefore, we are borrowed it from our children. It is not ours. We have taken it. We have consumed it at their expense. And the next generation will ask us, maybe in some place, who were the ones? Who were the stupid ancestors? Who left this kind of miserable planet for us? A miserable environment for us? A miserable civilization? And that's why we say that everything is high in the skies. India is gearing up to have more and more fleet of airplanes. India also did not stay back and went and sent a moon mission all the years long. That's why we say India is 40 years behind. Exactly. 1969, the USA sent their supposedly the moon mission, the Apollo 13, and India sent the Chandrayaan 40 years later. With, please do not mention the name. I mean, please do not mention that incident. It is already finished now. And there is nothing yet. There is no yield out of that moon mission. Only so that we followed the US. We promised ourselves. We followed our style 40 years later. That's all. We mimicked them. Imitated them 40 years later. Just to prove that we are still 40 years behind them. Therefore, people on the heights of progress, so much is being talked about civilizations. It is said that average age of world civilizations is just 200 years. Take the Roman civilization, the Greek Empire, the British Empire. Srila Prabhupada said, all these great empires, they lasted for a brief span of time. But that time, they became very powerful, very prominent. But how they came about? From bondage. Lot of difficulty. Their revolution. They had a revolution. Spiritual faith. From spiritual faith, they got courage. From courage to liberty. Let us give freedom, rights to everyone. From liberty came abundance. Lot of resources were untapped. There was nothing happening. The industrial civilization started. The industrial age started in the early 1900s. And from there came so many mechanizations. Somewhere in the middle, oil was discovered. And that sped up the whole industrial age. But from abundance came selfishness. And from selfishness came complacency. Okay, it's all the time going to be there. From complacency came apathy. Even if it is over, we will manage it. We have our own plans. We will have solar power. India is embarking on a 222,000 megawatt solar powered electricity system compared to some very few megawatts by the other conventional sources. So apathy, from apathy to dependence. we have become dependent on these comforts. We have become so couched, we can't tolerate a little inconvenience. Therefore, from dependency, we'll come back again bondage. We'll be bound by our own desires, by our own conditionings, by our own ease of comfort. And from bondage, we will vanish into oblivion. So, this is to know that we are high in the skies right now, but there is age, all civilizations, they don't go through a linear curve. If the civilization is very in infancy, it is very small, it is very weak. When it grows, it becomes strong, and it becomes very strong at its peak. But after some time, it starts losing its strength, it starts to become old, and then it finally vanishes. But people think linear. That's why Vedic time or Vedic concept is cyclic. Whatever goes up comes down. And comes down and meets the same point. Down to earth. From earth and back to earth. So we have gone like spaceships, cosmonauts, who are traveling in high space above the land, above the earth. And we are having, in international flights, you can see those screens in front of you. TV screens or media screens. And you can watch everything that is happening on this planet earth while you are high in the sky. But that means that we have to come down. We have to land somewhere. We can't keep watching that from sky for long. But our life right now has become like that. We are couched in so much of insulation that we don't see the real world. We see the real world only as it is depicted to us in a small screen. We understand the world by what the world is there depicted on the media. Therefore, that's why it is said that it has become appallingly obvious that the technology has exceeded humanity. The technology was made to advance humanity for a greater cause. It has become so much enslaved. There's so much enslaved the humanity that it has become a slave of technology. There was a couple in South Korea who were so attached to playing games, video games, before their marriage, and they got married, and then they were still attached to playing a game. They had a newborn baby, 1 year old. And this baby, they were so attached that, you know, they had to go to the parlor and play that game. But that game was a very unique game in which when they would keep playing and keep advancing, then suddenly there would be a prize that would be available on that game. That you are awarded a beautiful young daughter, 1 year old, in that game. Now, a couple is playing that game, so they get a virtual baby. And now that you are given this baby, now you have to take very good care of this baby. It depends how you take well care of this virtual baby, you will keep getting points. So they kept playing this game. After some time, when they kept playing this game, they could not even realize that their real born baby is crying for food and attention. They used to go in middle and give some little baby food and come back. One day they really got so much enslaved in this game. When they came back early in the morning, spending the whole late night, they found their real baby dead. This is something serious. The real baby, one year old newborn baby dead. And virtual baby still going great. Healthy. Organized. Very nice. More points. Our life has become like that. We are living more virtually than really. We are getting more information about virtual things than about the real things in life. We are getting more attached to virtual things than the real pleasures, the real wonderful, pleasant things in life. We are sacrificing, and then we are saying, no, it's all for It's all that. It's all giving me the same kind of pleasure. If I had more of that. So it has become apparently obvious that the technology has exceeded the humanity. And therefore, this is because we have this information of choice which is provided to us. But then, as there is this isolation, and that is the real enemy. Isolation in insulation creates ignorance. When we are in that small airplane, the whole earth is transforming, but the screen shows the very nice things that we like to see. So we like to see the nice things in this world, and therefore the truth, see the truth or to view the truth is absolutely difficult, and even to digest it is absolutely resisting. Therefore, isolation is the sum total of wretchedness to a man. The greatest enemy of humankind is not its situations. Can you just turn off that mobile for some time? Can you switch off your, keep your mobiles on silent mode? Because even mobiles create great hazards, right? Apart from that, this is just the beginning. Where do we land? We have to choose where do we land. If we are flying high in the sky, we should know where are we landing. And as sure as that, before we land, we must know what's happening around the scene. What's happened? What's the change that has taken place? So, all that more. And this is... now I just want to begin with some presentations which will start to make you think on different terms as you were all the time. So please... bear with this. This will keep coming in between. And you have to keep connecting to the points and then to the presentation. And the these points will be laid out here. Can you give the audio, please? It's coming.
Since the inception of the Federal Reserve in 1913, a number of large and small wars have commenced. The three most pronounced were World War I, World War II, and Vietnam. World War I. In 1914, European wars broke out centered around England and Germany. The American public wanted nothing to do with the war. In turn, President Woodrow Wilson publicly declared neutrality. However, under the surface, the U.S. administration was looking for any excuse it could find to enter. In a noted observation by Secretary of State William Jennings, the large banking interests were deeply interested in the World War because of the wide opportunities for large profits. It's important to understand that the most lucrative thing that can happen for the international bankers is war, for it forces the country to borrow even more money from the Federal Reserve Bank at interest. Woodrow Wilson's top advisor and mentor was Colonel Edward House, a man with intimate connections with the international bankers who wanted in the war. In a documented conversation between Colonel House, Wilson's advisor, and Sir Edward Grey, the Foreign Secretary of England, regarding how to get America into the war, Grey inquired, "What will Americans do if Germans sink an ocean liner with American passengers on board?" House responded, "I believe that a flame of indignation would sweep the United States, and that by itself would be sufficient to carry us into war." So, on May 7, 1915, on essentially the suggestion of Sir Edward Grey, a ship called the Lusitania was deliberately sent into German-controlled waters, where German military vessels were known to be. And, as expected, German U-boats torpedoed the ship, exploding stored ammunition, killing 1,200 people. To further understand the deliberate nature of this setup, the German embassy actually put advertisements in the New York Times telling people that if they boarded the Lusitania, they did so at their own risk, as such a ship sailing from America to England through the war zone would be liable to destruction. In turn, and as anticipated, the sinking of the Lusitania caused a wave of anger among the American population, and America entered the war a short time after. The First World War caused 323,000 American deaths. J.D. Rockefeller made $200 million off of it. Not to mention the war cost about $30 billion for America, most of which was borrowed from the Federal Reserve Bank at interest, furthering the profits of the international bankers. World War II. On December 7, 1941, Japan attacked the American fleet at Pearl Harbor, triggering our entry into that war. President Franklin D. Roosevelt declared the attack was a day that will live in infamy. A day of infamy indeed, but not because of the alleged surprise attack on Pearl Harbor. After 60 years of surfacing information, it is clear that not only was the attack on Pearl Harbor known weeks in advance, it was outright wanted and provoked. Roosevelt, whose family had been New York bankers since the 18th century, whose uncle Frederick was on the original Federal Reserve Board, was very sympathetic to the interests of the international bankers, and the interest was to enter the war, as we've seen, nothing is more profitable for international bankers than war. In a journal entry by Roosevelt's Secretary of War, Henry Stimson, dated November 25, 1941, he documented a conversation he had with Roosevelt. The question was, how should we maneuver them into firing the first shot? It was desirable to make sure the Japanese be the ones to do this, so that there should remain no doubt as to who were the aggressors. In the months leading up to the attack on Pearl Harbor, Roosevelt had done almost everything in his power to anger the Japanese, showing a posture of aggression. He halted all of Japan's imports of American petroleum. He froze all the Japanese assets in the United States. He made public loans to nationalist China and supplied military aid to the British, both enemies of Japan in the war, which, by the way, is completely in violation of international war rules. And on December 4th, 3 days before the attack, Australian intelligence told Roosevelt about a Japanese task force moving towards Pearl Harbor. Roosevelt ignored it. So, as hoped and allowed, on December 7, 1941, Japan attacked Pearl Harbor, killing 2,400 soldiers. Before Pearl Harbor, 83% of the American public wanted nothing to do with the war. After Pearl Harbor, 1 million men volunteered for the war. It is important to note, Nazi Germany's war effort was largely supported by two organizations, one of which was called IG Farben. IG Farben produced 84% of Germany's explosives, and even the Zyklon B used in the concentration camps to kill millions. One of the unspoken partners of IG Farben was J.D. Rockefeller's Standard Oil Company in America. In fact, the German Air Force could not operate without a special additive patented by Rockefeller Standard Oil. The drastic bombing of London by Nazi Germany, for example, was made possible by a $20 million sale of fuel to IG Farben by the Rockefeller Standard Oil Company. This is just one small point on the topic of how American business funded both sides of World War II. One other treasonous organization worth mentioning is the Union Banking Corporation of New York City. Not only did it finance numerous aspects of Hitler's rise to power, along with actual materials during the war, it was also a Nazi money laundering bank, which was eventually exposed for having millions of dollars of Nazi money in its vaults. The Union Banking Corporation of New York was eventually seized for violations of the Trading with the Enemy Act. Guess who the director and vice president of the Union Bank was? Prescott Bush, our current president's grandfather, and of course our former president's father. Keep that in mind when considering the moral and political dispositions of the Bush family. Vietnam. The United States' official declaration of war on North Vietnam in 1964 came after an alleged incident involving two U.S. destroyers being attacked by North Vietnamese PT boats in the Gulf of Tonkin. This was known as the Gulf of Tonkin Incident. This single situation was the catalytic pretext for massive troop deployment and full-fledged warfare. One problem, however, the attack on the U.S. destroyers by Vietnamese PT boats never happened. It was a completely staged event to have an excuse to enter the war. Former Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara stated years later that the Gulf of Tonkin incident was a mistake, while many other insiders and officers have come forward, relaying that it was a contrived farce, a complete lie.
So, sorry for that rude shock and making you come down from our ideas and terminologies as to how war takes place. So, nothing of this actually of this sort really takes place in a way that we think that the war is just consequential of so many factors. But this way, this story behind the scene is pretty nasty. And the truth is not for all men, but only for those who seek it. It's not that everyone knew it for such a long time. It's only so that we may know it. And what do we do after knowing it? That's so important. Therefore, the illusion of development is the another landing space. This is World Statistics, where we see that 1 in 7 people go to bed hungry every day. There are 42 ongoing major conflicts in the world. 1.6 billion people live without electricity. And 40% of interstate armed conflicts have been shown to be directly linked to competition over natural resources. All these things happen just because there is so much of promise of development, but there is none. The media only reports development, development, and development. But there is no report of wars, no reports of cover-ups, and no reports of conspiracies at a very serious level. Of course, the 9/11 attacks was just an excuse to enter another war with Iraq. And that's another huge story. We would really not be able to understand the whole story behind the scene. But we just need to know a very little of the whole thing so that we can understand what is the whole scenario just by knowing the tip of the iceberg. And so that we cannot trust these people at all. In God, we trust is the sign on the dollar bill. But the people who printed that don't mean it at all. Therefore, what's there is not there. What you see is not there. It's something different. So therefore, more to go. But let's see where we land much more. This is the U.S. Capitol Hill, Washington, where exactly all decisions take place as to what will happen with collaborations and participations and globalizations of world economies and everything else. When Hillary Clinton came to India, we were so happy. When Bill Clinton also came very, very long back ago, Indians were very happy. But this time Hillary Clinton came just to sell some particular type of seeds, which would be owned by US multinationals, and all the farmers would be requested or would be forced or pressured to buy these kind of seeds. Obama is coming back to India in November, if you all know that. And we should not think that Obama is coming for developing India. They want to develop India in their way, according to their terms. And we are practically all of our jobs, all of our economic situations that we are all involved in, is practically because of so much of the development or taking place in collaboration with the global world. Indians used to sleep peacefully at night. But the real development that has taken place is that now we have call centers. And we find all of our, at least every 30% of working students who are just coming to the corporate job have first tried a call center job or are going to go or aspiring because they want to continue their habit of hostel life into the corporate world. So definitely this has not come because India is developing. It is because someone else is getting very cheap hired labor, and what they are getting to sell, it is a very high price. And in fact, a Nike shirt, which costs maybe more than $10 to $15, gets made in less than $1 and gets made in Indonesia. Made in Indonesia, where mass workers in mass capacity, where they have each one Nike shirt is made within 40 seconds in terms of stitching and just coming and raw materials. It's a very tight knit schedule, and they're paid $1 a day for making 40 seconds and how many shirts in a 10 to 12 minimum 12 to sometimes working all the time, 7 hours, 7 days, and 20, probably 18 hours a day. So, on the pretext of development, these are markers of sovereignty that we find all over the world. But what we find here is not real sovereignty, but this is what is disparity. This is not developing. This is not developing nations and developed nations. This is developed nations and underdeveloping nations. The developing nations or developed nations are underdeveloping the developing nations. That is the catch. Two typical German shepherds kept as pets in Europe or US consume more than in a year than average person living in Bangladesh. You won't call that underdeveloped nation also in that sense. You caught them animals. Even animals are more luxurious in these countries. You can't even compare these countries. They follow to a different race altogether. These are animal nations where animals are developed, and here humans are worse than animals. So half of the world poor live in resource-rich countries, and half of the world wealth is owned by richest 2% of population. Food travels farther than ever in the Western industrial countries, often logging 2,500 to 4,000 kilometers from farm to the store. And 20% of corn grown in the United States is diverted for producing biofuels. Food is used for making petrol. When there is hunger, we found 1 in 7 goes to hungry bed, and there is enough for the fuel, but less for the humans. So what kind of disparity is that? Let us go and see this virtually happening.
Ideas have tried to take over the world, but there's only one winner. 3,000 adverts bombard us every day. Tenants will be happier, more attractive, and with better skin if only we buy their products. Together, they create within us an insatiable desire to buy more and more stuff. Americans have been advertised at longest, and they now each consume twice as much energy as a European, 9 times more than a Chinese person, 15 times more than an Indian, and 50 times more than someone from Kenya. If all 6.5 billion people here on Earth consume like Europeans or Japanese, we'd need 2 more planets worth of resources. If everyone consumed like Americans, Australians, and Canadians, we'd need another 4. And in 2040 or so, when there's about 9 billion of us, we'll need 2 more again. Capitalism's only goal is ever-expanding growth. But ever-expanding growth on just the one not-expanding planet is impossible. The current economic system is disastrous, not just for the planet, but for most people too. 400 years of capitalism has allowed the richest 1% to take 40% for themselves, leaving just 1% for the poorest half. But anyone wanting to live differently is thwarted at every turn. With profit the only measuring stick, Destroying the planet is written into the system, and runaway climate change is a not very surprising result.
Logo effectively is color. You know, like today, you know, Orange Telecom, they have orange and black. Our logo is for us in color.
Now, everything changes in an economy the minute you have an airline moving in, because people can basically do business a lot faster. If businesses grow a lot faster, people have more disposable income, then, you know, consumerism sets in. And, you know, where the verge where basically consumerism is setting in. It's moving a lot like America.
This is India. We are trying to go ahead. And how much can we get more when already everything is shared? The party is over. The party is over and we are going after the party. The main items are over. Right? Sometimes people feel after the Prerna festival, if I go late, I will miss that sweet and I'll miss that snack. So this is not that important. You know, that party will get over and I'll get with crumbs will remain at the ends. So finally, this is development and practically we have gone till that much only. But this is rather also important. So therefore, down to earth, let us try to understand what's happening all around. This is just global inequality and poverty. But this is the humanity and nature is gone exactly opposite. And that's the fussy logic. Fussy means it's all, it's a mess. And then, thy food be thy poison. We are blessed with this new development phase. Then, there's the thirsty century. The century will be the thirstiest of mankind. With more wars fought over water than over oil. The oil is the black gold and water is the blue gold. The oil wars are already fought in the Middle East. And now water wars are yet to be fought. And probably all are expecting India-Pakistan to enter this match. Because there is already a fight between India and Pakistan over waters into the Sindh and India is blocking it from a dam. And damn it, if the Americans get to want to start a war with starting a war with India and Pakistan, they just have to instigate Pakistan and say that we are backing you. You just start shooting a nuclear missile, that's all. Rana Swami Maharaj often says, then bomb bay will be a bay. Because the first target would be Mumbai. First target. These are predictions, these are projections by some analysts and some military experts. So, sorry, I didn't just get my opinion on that point. So, war over spilled oil, because less oil is remaining now, whatever spilled out, they are fighting for that. So, thank God that they realize that now, only spillage is there, so not much to remain. So, global village and empty pockets, we just see a little bit in that detail. We're talking about, in fact, that was a plan. After the First World War, a plan to start the League of Nations was started. Please try to understand that we are trying to understand the story behind the scene. And do not leave in between your minds also, because solution is lying. And not putting you into a abyss of depression or abyss of loss of self-confidence or trying to scare you away, because I think so. We can't scare you away because we are all doors shut. So you have no options. But you will not be scared to death. That is for sure. There's all the more hope now. Therefore, the World War I started and then the plan was to start the League of Nations. The League of Nations failed. Then World War II took place and there was the United Nations was formed. And once there was a group of nations that were formed, then came the World Bank, then came the International Monetary Fund, and then everything started about uniting the whole world, making it narrower, making it one global village. If I have to manage 34, if the government has to manage 34 states, it's a lot of difficulty because Andhra wants Telangana and or Telangana wants, within Andhra it's there are this, and there is MP wants, MP is already Chhattisgarh, and now Bihar is now Jharkhand and Bihar. Then Uttar Pradesh is now Uttaranchal and UP. The Northeast Indian states, they practically don't believe that they are part of India. So we don't have to worry much about our right arm. So the right arm is already working too much with the mouse. So it says, let us give us a little bit of relaxation. And of course, all the world maps don't show the head of India. They show us shaven-headed. The extra tuft of hair is, which we have a tuft of hair this way, that is gone. So India is other way around. More things. More management. And then therefore it becomes so complex, and then we find the communists coming to India and saying that this is, I can only believe in a God that can manage this Indian state. That's why there is God. So much of organized chaos is here. The chaos also is organized. Therefore, this is, but the world players, they think differently. They think that if few people, few situations to manage, few states to manage, or few clusters to manage, it is much more easier. So the global village is simply a plot of some few people who want centralization. And they are not all noblemen. Look, they had a World War I. Any mercy for the lives? At what cost? At the cost of life, and still they made money over it by killing. So these are the people that we are up to. So we should really know that we are living in a world of devils. Innocent news. Oh, I don't watch the other media, but the news are, you know, the news are the real stuff. We get to know the whole world in the media. That's going to be a separate tour for all of you. Maybe like next time you see a media, you're going to say that, hey, what's that? Is that a conspiracy? So this is, we'll go one by one. Therefore, humanity and nature are right now at loggerheads. The climate change, we had shown a lot of series on that, a lot of presentations on that. I'm just going to go quickly, and just, this is what Srila Prabhupada writes in the purports. Such dreamy materialists are repeatedly stunned by the crushing reactions of laws of nature, and their arrogant agnostic civilizations are repeatedly annihilated by world wars, natural disasters, and violent shifts of the cosmic situation. This is mostly results of the over-exploitation of the
against a black screen, the WB will be the shield. The shield and letter B disappears. The middle stroke of the letter W becomes red.
What could be the greatest challenge of our time? The collapse of our planet's ecosystems and our search for solutions to create a sustainable future. So, if we look for the cause of this planetary destruction, what would we find?
We would find a global civilization created by the human mind. A mind that has evolved to have the ability to reflect back on ourselves, to take stock of our own existence. A mind able to discover quantum physics, explore outer space, and peer into our own DNA. But beyond our stunning intellectual and technological advances, we would also see our large-scale impact on our home, planet Earth. Now, ecological disasters are rarely covered, and when they are, they're depicted as isolated incidents by the media. But if we connect these events, will we find a larger story that needs to be told? A human story. And more so than that, a global understanding that takes into account who we are and the state of our relationship to this planet, our only home.
The luminous curve of planet Earth in black space, its blue surface mottled with white cloud. Professor Stephen Hawking.
Life on Earth is possible only because a number of parameters lie in certain very narrow ranges. Some of these are clearly environmental, like the Earth has the right temperature and pressure to have liquid water.
Creation is the universe. Creation is everything that we can see, and probably a whole lot that we can't, probably more that we can't see. But it's what's about us, and it's the relationship, this amazing web of life that we have here.
Well, Earth is a planet that's just far enough from the sun and has just enough of an atmosphere of a certain composition that more heat stays here than radiates out to space. And the sun warms the planet, and that heat radiates out, and there's gases in the atmosphere that have always trapped some of that heat. And that's why we're not an ice ball. And there have been scientists who compared this whole business of the different planets going away from the sun as being like the Goldilocks effect. There's one that's too cold, one that's too warm, and one that's just right, and we just happen to be there.
40 million centuries ago, that a cell formed, and that cell had a gene, and that gene is the password to every single other form of life there is. And the amazing thing about the human body is it has 100 trillion cells, and 90% of them are not human cells. They're fungi and bacteria, microorganisms. And the thing that makes us human is not human. So within us is basically the backstory of life on Earth right to that first original cell 40 million centuries ago. And if you could, for a moment, stop and feel what is happening in your body, there are 6 septillion things going on at the same time. That's a 6 with 24 zeros after it, okay? Going on right now, right this instant, as you sit in your chair, and then in the next instant, within 10 seconds, 100 more things have happened than in all.
So nature is coming back right at us, and therefore, this is what we see. Climate crisis, 0.8 degrees Celsius is already on the rise. Average temperatures since 1880, natural disasters are risen up to 500 today from an average of 120 a year. We saw the recent volcanic eruption in Iceland and the recent Gulf oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico by BP. British Petroleum, currently thought at 1,200 barrels a day, ice spewing out from the Earth's bed below. It is now estimated that it is 5,000 barrels of oil spilling a day. A day, 5,000 barrels of oil are simply spewing in the whole ocean, destroying practically all sea life. The more we try to extract, this is the result, and therefore, the problem is not just with the weather, it's not with the thing, it's also with the food. This is a UN survey. Would you please give your opinion about the solutions to the food shortage in the rest of the world? In Africa, they didn't know what food meant. In Europe, they didn't know what shortage meant. In China, they didn't know what opinion meant. In China, you are not allowed to have more than one child. If it's a girl, you're allowed to have a second one, but no third way, no third chance. And then those who have a child, they have a single child, they get all perks, they got all concessions. And those who have a double child, they lose all the discounts and they're added and given additional tax. That is the meaning of opinion. In the Middle East, they don't know what solution meant. Everything in the Middle East is what is Dubai hires the most fantastic artisans and artistic people all over the world. They have no water, they have no water supply, but they have desalination plants which remove this salt, which extract the salt from the water, and then it comes for the drinking water. They have so much of money because for them solution, because they have a lot of money from the oil. South America didn't know what please meant. Because they're practically very rude. No place. They just work with hands and fists. United States, they didn't know what the rest of the world meant. In Haiti, recent crisis that has taken place, Haiti was a very fantastic country with resource-rich countries, but there's so much of mining that has taken place, the forests have been destroyed, that country has become a desert, the hills have become like red gashes of wounds on a body, and there is practically no food that is available, and there is UN peacekeeping force which keeps patrolling to keep the food supply or the food distribution in a safe mode. And this is what has happened, but now this is the most severe crisis that is going to affect all of us. The monster of commercial farms rising out of the ashes of the local farms. More and more are happenings of this nature where small homegrown farms are turning to a lot of commercial agriculture, and therefore the food that we get sometimes does really matter.
Once you start asking questions, you can't stop.
You see, good health makes a lot of sense, but it doesn't make a lot of dollars. Not considering nutrition seriously, we've done a terrible disservice to all these people.
Every single person in the world, every culture, every language, every country, every person in the world knows it. You are what you eat. Food does matter.
The supermarket. Symbol of the high standard of living in this country today. These products come from farms and ranches despite distance and season. They are the result of a miraculous agriculture, maintaining farm fresh quality all the way to your dinner table.
How old is your food? If you think about it, your food really, in the best of times, is traveling between 1,500 and 2,000 miles before you get it, and is at least a week old, which becomes the next question. How much nutrition value are you getting from food that's at least 5 days old? And if you're lucky, you're getting maybe 40% of what you need.
Nearly every food that you will find in...
40% of what you eat, practically that's what you can get. But if that 40% of the food would contain a little bit of your chemicals, then probably you'll get 100% of all those chemicals because they don't degenerate. So chemicals is 100% and nutrients is 40%. So here's our all hopes for the food that is coming. Because if the food has to come from such a long distance, they have to be processed. They have to go through all of that processing and chemical indoctrination. And therefore, more the commercial agriculture becomes, the more these chemicals are getting into our food day by day. And there are a list of chemicals and chemicals and chemicals. I don't want to put down with that. The health industry is another issue. We will take it some other time. The food riots that are taking place in the world are the worst ever food crisis in the first 45 years. There are more and more people who are getting disinterested in agriculture, coming back to the cities, and the farms are lying vacant, and there is no one to grow the good food. Agriculture consists of 75% of occupation in India, the largest single occupation for the Indians. Yet the farmers who are growing our food are being subjected to these kind of vulnerable conditions where they are to commit suicides. Not because of natural conditions, but because of induced corporate control and benefit. So this is something that we need to really seriously get into our minds very strongly. And therefore, these are what are the seed companies, the genetically modified seeds. And they're...
Between 1995 and 2005, Monsanto acquired over 50 seed companies throughout the world. These companies produce corn, cotton, wheat, and soybean, and also seeds for tomatoes, potatoes, and sorghum. Everywhere, people worry about Monsanto's monopoly, which in the long term threatens to wipe out all non-transgenic varieties. Monsanto doesn't agree and speaks only about the benefits of biotechnology, especially in developing countries like India. Our products provide significant economic benefits to both large and small growers. In many cases, farmers are able to grow higher quality and better yielding crops. Two agronomists publish a report comparing bioengineered cotton with conventional cotton in terms of yields and production costs. In 2006, the harvest was ravaged by a disease that affects transgenic cotton.
This is a bollgard field. And we can see some of the Rhizoctonia affected plants. You see, if you remove the bark of a healthy plant, it won't be like this, like threads. See, it's a classic example of Rhizoctonia infestation.
The farmers, they have never seen that. And when we were doing our study from 2001, we have noted this disease on very few samples in the BT cotton only. And as the time passed, the spread was seen more and more in the BT fields as well as some non-BT fields also. But I personally feel that there may be some interaction, undesirable interaction, between the host plant where the gene was introduced and the gene which is carrying the BT. And that has introduced the weakness in the plant to not to resist this Rhizoctonia.
I have seen the website of the Monsanto. BT cotton reduces 78% of the pesticide reduction and pesticide consumption, and it gives to 30% better yields. But it's an utter flop. after 70-90 days, you invariably you have to spray for a bowl.
Must turn to money lenders.
How do you explain that so many farmers are buying BT seeds?
See, presently the option is is getting narrower and narrower to the farmer. During the current season, even farmer wanted to go for non-BT, there was no non-BT hybrid seed available in the market.
Today in India, Monsanto controls nearly all of the cottonseed market, forcing the locals to buy its seeds at prices four times higher than conventional varieties. Small farmers must turn to money lenders who charge high interest rates. If the harvest is poor, it means bankruptcy, a vicious circle which is decimating Indian villages.
जे आपल्या इथं आत्महत्या झाली ती कशामुळे झाली?
बीटी कॉटन.
अजून काय कारण होतं?
कर्ज बाजार.
वय काय होतं?
25.
हा, ही कंझ्युम्ड पेस्टिसाइड, 1 लिटर पेस्टिसाइड. पहिलं डिसाइड आहे का?
Tragedies like the one we've just witnessed occur three times a day in the Vidarbha region, where BT cotton was introduced in 2005. Of course, cotton farmers committing suicide is not new in India, but the GM crops are causing it to skyrocket. However, in this battle that pits David against Goliath, few dare to publicly denounce this international scandal.
This is Vidarbha's rice growing belt. So if you see, the minimum suicides are there. But this is the cotton growing area. The result of the BT cotton is, the first year 600 suicides from June 2005 to 2006. Second year, still today, within 6 months, 680 suicides. So it's a disaster.
It's a complete disaster, yes. All these technologies, either it is GM or biotechnology.
That is a very, a very helpless expression on his face. Made us laugh, but actually is making people die. It's too intense to even and see that the people who are actually giving us food are subjected to these kind of behaviors by these corporations. We need to really understand. Therefore, all the seeds, it's not that if these farmers die, still we'll get our food. The foods that will come with genetically modified variations, which will actually introduce so many diseases. Known diseases are known in our systems. No doubt why people are dying so rapidly out of cancer day by day. Because of all these undesirable toxins that are in our food. Eating anything and everything is McDonald's and McBurgers and all of that. And these companies are hell-bent on doing anything to get the share of their market from the vada pav wallas. They want to introduce their burger. But what can be done? They have to price according to the vada pav and the stalls. But then what have they have done? They have also introduced some non-vegetarian food stuffs on the other side. And what's their strategy is that they make that non-vegetarian counter, that side, more lucrative, more luxurious, more appealing. And that vegetarian is like a dehati counter for your sandwich and some sabji. What do you call that? Ghas phoos. आप लोग सब घास फूस खाते हैं. हियर वी आर ईटिंग एंड दैट्स हाउ इंडियंस आर अट्रैक्टेड टू ईट फर्स्ट द नॉन बीफ वेराइटीज एंड ग्रेजुअली दे वांट टू इंट्रोड्यूस द हिंदूज टू ईट द काउ. दैट्स अ स्ट्रैटेजी. यू वॉन्ट सी इट्स लाइक दैट. यू विल सी द एक्सटर्नल. That's why we get caught up in the media. McDonald's everywhere. So just not to get into the... And death of the soil is the death of the civilization. They are not destroying the farmer. They are not destroying the food. They are destroying the soil, which is giving the food. And just that, if the farmers leave all the villages and they are scared away by these things, the corporations will take over the fields and they will just do their farming. And we will be helplessly bound to get the food at their mercy and the quality at their wish. We have to simply die according to their wish, like these farmers. Farmers are dying now, we will die later. And then who will laugh? Maybe our next generation. They will see this video. Our video. That they saw this, and now they also died like that. So we laugh. We laugh because it's foolishness. Why do we laugh? We laugh because it's a foolish thing. So let us just not be so foolish. The GM genocide is coming to India. The BT cotton has taken over the entire cotton seed market. The next is coming BT brinjal. The BT brinjal is being debated, but it will be debated for some time and it will be brought in very secretly. We have to show our solidarity by the choice we make. And therefore, we have to encourage more organic farming. There are hundreds of examples, and we have dedicated today's Prerna's follow-up session with a lot of practical guidance and inputs for someone who really want to go beyond the laughing stock, want to go beyond the laughing stock and just become amused or just become aware. But we can actually become beware and then become just aware. And therefore, this is a point. There are more guidelines to be there. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, if your all energies engage in manufacturing tires and wheels, then who will go to the farms? Actually, I've seen in your country, the farmer's son, they do not like to remain in the farm. They go into the city. Many of you are hailing from villages. Many of you have come from villages just to the cities, to the city of Mumbai. Not much wanted by people out here. Some people. But then our future is thirsty century. 95% of the earth is ocean, 4% is locked in the ice caps. 1% constitutes the fresh water that is available, including the ground resources. 0.1% is available as fresh water in lakes, rivers, streams, suitable for human consumption. 1.1 billion out of the 6 billion population of the world lack access to clean water, and 2.4 billion lacks access to proper sanitation. 48% of the earth's population lives in towns. By 2030, this will be 60%, and there will be much more pressure on the water supply system in the urban towns and cities. Global water consumption rose sixfold between 1900 and 1995, more than the double the rate of population growth. We're estimating 8.5 billion to enter entering 2025. That would mean that the consumption will increase and the water per person is practically reducing to a drop. Plus a little of the global warming effect. Some of the glaciers could disappear, including the glaciers in the Himalayas. And 2035, the Ganges Plain will be the great desert of India. So, these are, while rising seas and sinking hopes, the Coca-Cola keeps manufacturing its colas in Indian villages, drawing out water from the ground water table, which is valuable for growing crops, and they are taking that water for Coca-Cola, which you drink and enjoy. The cola was found to have pesticide residue in year 2003, and when they found that the Center for Science and Environment in India, they found that the cola did contain some pesticide residue that were, there were 37 different chemicals found, and they were around 70% above what the safety ratio which is there in the European countries, European standards. And when the cola was talked about it, they just denied the whole thing and they brought Amir Khan. How many of you know that ad? Coca-Cola bottling plant. Ye sab save. This sugar is tested through this hot treatment process, carbon treatment process. क्या आप नहीं जानते कि मैं आपके सेहत के लिए चिंतित नहीं हूं? तो मैंने कोको कोला प्लांट जाने की एक मैंने चेष्टा की और मैंने यहाँ पे देखा. Then you show him, they show him the suit and they go inside as if this is like serious and then this is the whole process and then say, कोको कोला बिल्कुल सेफ है, आप पी सकते हैं, enjoy कोको कोला. I didn't want to show that ad, you would become more excited. I'm just paraphrasing it. If this gets you excited, if you see Amir Khan, you will forget that I'm talking about this topic. Probably to bring you down to earth will take more time. Corporations are cashing on in water crisis. It's not just the globalization is just in the food. They want to even control every drop of water that you have an access to. And that's why the World Bank and IMF is only sponsoring money to develop places where there is water paucity by eradicating all possibilities of hand pumps and the water control to be given to private companies who will distribute water at a very expensive cost where the common population cannot afford its water. Everything is cashing on in. Everything is they are just bottling the whole world up. Kenyan tribes are battling over water right now. Water police is in Australia. If they find you using too much of water in your garden outside, they will arrest you for using too much of water. And here in India, we still safe inside our buildings and no one to watch on us. The ghost cities of future, like Australian cities like Perth, is practically drawn out of all the water, and soon these cities will be deserted. There's so much of population and no water to drink. Water everywhere and no water to drink. The world's largest toilet to tap system is coming to India. It's already in India. It's now time to have a tall bottle of sewage. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. It's now sewage water that is going to come in your drinking water, going through the tank where it is demineralized, where it is filtered, it remains in tank for some time and then it is going to be pumped. There's an 18,000 crore plant in Bangalore that is already operational. Toilet to tap water system. Next time you flush your toilet, know that it's soon coming to your tap after some time. Amazing. I don't think so. You'll be able to laugh after that. While war over spilled oil. It is said, my father rode a camel. I drive a car and my son flies a jet. His son will ride a camel. But it's something not just this. It's something more than that. And that's going to be a little bit of concern and worry for all of us. Please bear with me. I'm just going to go on and on. I think so. This will be a really short time to present so much of. It's really down to earth. We are really going all around the earth, moving from Saudi to India to so many places. Okay, so basically this oil has been formed after so many years, 10,000 years. And this oil, being more than a facility, has become a magnet for war. More wars are fought, practically 80% of the wars were fought for oil.
Oil is a magnet for war. Oil starts wars. The Sudan, for example, Darfur, what everybody is treating as an ethnic and a religious struggle is in fact in part a struggle about major oil finds located in the south, which means that the government in the north, a different ethnic and religious makeup, is displacing those people and moving them out of the area so that those oil revenues belong to them.
crossover major for oils, oil fields in the Saudi, Azerbaijan, and those places.
Oil has always been associated with war. Our very first wars, World War I, World War II, have very important elements of oil in them as a reason for the war, as allowing the war to go on, as a way of securing supply.
Она мало серностая, да, мало парафинистая. Она буквально без какой-либо обработки.
Really about seizing an oil field. The first war that was absolutely about oil was Saddam Hussein's invasion of Kuwait, which was really about seizing an oil field.
Excellency, ladies and gentlemen, Iraq oil is a giant that has been kept dormant for so many, many years. This oil has been the least explored, the least developed, and the least produced.
There are lots of people who will tell you that oil had nothing to do with the war if you go to Washington. And we used to call it the O word that nobody would say. But in fact, all evidence points to the fact that the United States, which did not secure areas of weapons of mass destruction, but did in fact secure the oil fields, the United States had plans to bring in U.S. companies in Iraq where they have previously not been allowed to operate, that there were maps of the oil fields involved in the planning of the war, that in 1998, long before the war, people were arguing for this as a way of securing energy supplies in the United States.
I can't get inside their heads to know all of the rationale for going to war in Iraq, but there are many people who believe at least a part of the reasons for being there is the geopolitical position of Iraq and the fact that it sits right in the middle of the world's oil patch.
But more so than that,
I'm taking this time span here from 5,000 years ago to the present to 5,000 years in the future. And what we call recorded history began about 5,000 years ago. So what this shows is that this Washington Monument-like spike here is the episode of the fossil fuels, coal, oil, and natural gas, and every other kind of fossil fuel in human history. Mm. It's the most disturbing thing that's ever happened to the human species. It's responsible for our technological society, and in terms of human history, it's a very brief epoch.
10,000 years of history before and after will be 100 years of oil age. And for this 100 years of oil, we have fought, we have killed, we have done so many things, and it's just a 100-year affair, it's finished. Humanity in the further years to come will describe this age as the most stupid age, where for a little of oil, when they knew it was going to end, they fought so much, they killed so much when it was already going to be finished. And they killed and they did so much of war and torture to so much of humanity. Therefore, it's called the stupid age, the stupid oil age. And therefore, we find that this is the disappearing act by the oil. We have seen the global village in empty pockets, where the idea behind the global village concept is to make the European Union, then the North American Union, and then the Asian Union, and to unite all of these three together, and to have one paper currency, one global currency, which will be just handled by a few people. There will be cashless banking, which is happening right now. After some time, you won't even see your money, even in your hands or in someone else's hands or in the banks. And we are placing all this money in these bankers who have already played with our money for such a long time. Prabhupada said, this paper currency is bogus. There is no equivalent amount of gold equal to the paper currency that they print. Where is that reserve? Where is that gold? But still, what they are acquiring is lands in respect for money. Rich and poor, World Bank is loaning all of these people, and there are too many. It's like this. It's interesting gap between the rich and poor. The poor is actually is the seat for this gentleman, the rich person. And this is the only gap. Gap is very small, but he's sitting on his... They are becoming rich at their expense. Top 200 corporations account for 28% of global economic activity. Top 500 account for 70% of the world trade. And top 1,000 companies control more than 80% of the world's industrial output. That's globalization. Okay, now is that the most important thing is the innocent news that we all feel. And the thing that was much more important for all of us to understand is the oil factor for going in this war and plan.
Responding to George Bush's crusade against terror, jihad fighters have...
We actually have four bases.
...oil resources, three-fourths of which happen to be located in Muslim countries.
We now have permanent bases in Iraq. We've had them in Kuwait for a while. We have permanent bases in Afghanistan. We are building permanent bases in Uzbekistan. We actually have four bases in Georgia. So if you draw a map that connects the dots between all of the bases that we have done since the Cold War ended, what you see is American military hegemony covering 90% of the globe's energy resources in terms of gas and in terms of oil.
In May of 2002, trusting that the U.S. military would bring peace for Afghanistan, President Karzai signs a treaty with the leaders of Pakistan and Turkmenistan for the construction of a $2 billion pipeline from Turkmenistan to the Indian Ocean.
This is coming.
Turkmenistan and Afghanistan hope to generate much-needed income for their economies. Pakistan hopes to secure an oil route for itself.
To fight with India.
Its position would also allow Pakistan to control at least part of the oil supply to India. Washington, however, appears to recognize the potential for conflicts with the pipeline that would ultimately serve China's 1.5 billion consumers as well. Indeed, U.S. oil companies are now favoring a western route through the sparsely populated regions of Turkmenistan, Azerbaijan, Georgia, and eastern Turkey towards the Mediterranean Sea and eventually Europe and the United States. For this reason, the U.S. military is not even trying to control the Afghan warlords, whose persistent violence would hamper the pipeline's construction.
We should know why what's thing happening in the news. So it's always not right to know what the news is being always given to us. And that's why you say it's not a glamour media, it's a clamor media. It creates a lot of clashes. It gives you the confused thing. Now, if I want to confuse a mass, then I should have a mass media which sends out wrong signals and says, for example, it says that the Americans went to the war because they were attacked by the terrorists. And that's why the whole thing went berserk and people were ready to support that war.
together. We can win the first war of the 21st century. And that is the war cold-blooded killers against cold-blooded killers. The first war of the 21st century. Cold-blooded killers against cold-blooded killers.
The human mind is like a computer. No matter how efficient it may be, its reliability is only as great as the information fed into it. If it is possible to control the inputs of the human mind, then no matter how intelligent a person may be, it's entirely possible to program what he will think. And yes, it's even possible to program people to laugh at the mere mention of the word conspiracy.
Using television as the prime example of how mental programming and mind control works, television is the most powerful weapon of psychological warfare in history. And yet, television, for many people, is a member of the family in the household.
There's a movie called Loose Change that asserts hundreds, if not thousands, of Americans colluded to kill their fellow citizens on 9/11. That Al-Qaeda didn't attack us. We essentially attacked ourselves. This fairy tale ranks up there with the Holocaust deniers on the vicious scale.
We are living in a virtual reality. We're living in a totally controlled environment, an environment that has been created by mass media. Now, many people, especially young people, accept unquestioningly the reality that is presented by the media. Popular culture, movies, television, music, carry messages about how society works and how people should behave. The ultimate control is to control people without their conscious awareness. Again, television is a prime example. Think back to whenever you have observed young children or older adults sitting, watching television. They have this glassy-eyed, vacant look in their eyes because they are in a trance state, in a hypnotic state of mind.
Now, as Charlie Sheen ranting like a lunatic about the September 11th attacks, now word comes that Sheen will be narrating a new film about 9/11 conspiracy theories. Joining us now, National Syndicated Radio talk show host Mike.
They do not want you to think too much. That is why our country and our world has become so proliferated with entertainments, mass media, television shows, amusement parks, drugs, alcohol, and every kind of entertainment to keep the human mind entertained so that you don't get in the way of important people by doing too much thinking. You had better wake up and understand that there are people who are guiding your life and you don't even know it.
So there.
So this is how actually everything takes place. There is no war situation in the United States of America. There is no war by terrorism. It was just the war for oil, practically. And that's why the news is something that we cannot just believe what they say. Practically do not want to believe. So this is, if the world outside the TV set contract is the images, people start trying to change the world to make it like the TV set images. That's how they put the television. This is the ad for one child policy in China. This is how the ads, they keep us so much engaged, right? Now this is something, so drink Coca-Cola. Don't drink water. Tap water is bad. Drink cola. This is really something. Therefore, the use of hypocrisy, the manipulation of the news reported, the filtered information by purpose, control opinions, can control a mass very easily and keep them away from truth. Therefore, we do not choose. We were led to believe. We did not need. We were led to want. We did not agree. We were led to consensus. We did not know. We were led to opinion. We did not make it. We were led to fake it. We did not come. We were led to become. Crisis not in the making. Crisis is the making of these people. These people create economic crisis. These people create terror crisis by help of media and corporation. So now we are all scared. Now if someone is ready to leave, he will really go with say this too much sadistic presentation. Wait for some time more if you can manage. Where do we go from here? Whom do we trust from now? Why do we go with on this life? What could we possibly achieve? When will it become reality? The better world, who will make it happen? Therefore, we will make it happen when the hidden cost of desire is known to all of us. Price of a possession is a story of stuff. Cycle of suffering and the era of insanity. For every stuff we buy by this consumerism, we are forced to commit a lot of ecological disasters, humanity at conflict. All our mobile phones which come from the Congo, where there is a lot of war for that coltan that comes for the mobile phones. The diamonds that are there, but they say diamonds forever. They're coming from all these zones where people are tortured and are used as slaves. So much of killing every day. And that's an ecological footprint, psychological footprint, and metaphysical footprint that becomes implanted as samskaras. We become so immersed in these goods that we forget our inner self, our real, our purpose of life, and we become so distracted by this propaganda for achieving more and more. In fact, the most lucrative consumers for them are the kids. And therefore, this is amazing. And someone, I just showed this in the last Sunday feast also.
Not since the end of World War II, at the height of the baby boom, have there been so many kids in our midst. There are now more than 52 million kids under 12 in all in the United States, the biggest burst in the U.S. youth population in half a century. And for American business, these kids have come to represent the ultimate prize. An unprecedented, powerful, and elusive new demographic to be cut up and captured at all costs. There's no doubt that marketers have their sights on kids because of their increasing buying power, the amount of money they now spend on everything from clothes to music to electronics, totaling some $40 billion every year. But perhaps a bigger reason for marketers' interest in kids may be the amount of adult spending that American kids under 12 now directly influence, an astronomical $700 billion a year, roughly the equivalent of the combined economies of the world's 115 poorest countries.
One economic impact of children is the money that they themselves spend. The money that they get from their parents or grandparents, the money that they get as allowance when they get older, the money that they earn themselves. That is an increasingly significant amount of money. But that's not where the real money is. Marketers and advertisers have realized that the real money related to the children's market is in their purchasing influence.
Any questions? Jared, does it do any tricks? Does that work for you?
Because of their purchasing power and because of their purchasing influence, marketers and advertisers have become much more deliberate in their strategies and attempts to how to influence those dollars.
Sienna, because kids come first.
It's the children who often determine what kind of car gets bought, what kind of computer gets bought, what kind of cell phone program, and even where they take family holidays.
What's your favorite part of the Nick Hotel?
The awesome pools.
Having my own room.
The arcade rocks.
I like the shop.
I like eating with SpongeBob.
They came on vacation and the kids don't ever want to leave.
Most parents and other people just don't realize how corporate marketers intentionally try to, well, in essence, make parents absolutely miserable. Corporate corporate marketers have actually studied the whole nagging phenomenon, which corporations do nagging better, and they provide advice to corporations about, you know, what kinds of tantrums work better.
Children sometimes say, you know, can I, as much as 9 times.
Will you take us to Mount Splashmore?
No.
Will you take us to Mount Splashmore?
No.
Will you take us to Mount Splashmore?
No.
And part of the nag factor is designed to help maximize the number of times children will keep asking and keep asking.
No!
Will you take us to Mount Splashmore?
No!
Will you take us to Mount Splashmore?
If I take you, will you two shut up and quit bugging me?
Yeah, of course. Well, will you take us to Mount Splashmore?
Yes!
Thanks, Dad.
So these kids have a lot of power in the economy. The advertisers know it. And they are going after them in a way that is unprecedented. It's the
place where I want cartoons to are be. Not innocent.
This generation of children is marketed to as never before. Kids are being marketed to through brand licensing, through product placement, marketing in schools, through stealth marketing, through viral marketing. There's DVDs, there's video games, there's the internet, there are iPods, there are cell phones. There are so many more ways of reaching children so that there's a brand in front of a child's face every moment of every day.
What we have is the rise of 360-degree immersive marketing where they try and get around the child at every aspect, at every avenue.
Four great games.
Kids are inundated with this. They are buried in this. Buried in this media blitz.
Kids are now multitasking with media.
Hello. Hey, girl, what's up?
No way.
Say who you want to plug in your iPod or MP3 player.
Yeah, new music.
They are using more than one medium at the same time. So they're surfing the web, and the television's going with MTV, and they've got the iPod with one earbud in. And they are more vulnerable and are bombarded with over 3,000 commercial messages every day.
Marketers know these are little sponges. They're so wide open. They want to get that brand loyalty for life. Because that's big bucks.
It's about people wanting to convince our children that life is about buying, life is about getting.
Can I help you?
Yeah, I'm here to see this.
Go ahead.
So the philosophy becomes cradle to grave. Let's get to them early. Let's get to them often. Let's get to them as many places as we can get them.
Do you have a business card?
Sure.
Not just to sell them products and services, but to turn them into lifelong consumers.
I'll see you in about 20 years.
So it's a plan to really make you slave and really keep you hooked for your life. Maybe any brands, they're not selling you a product, they're selling you an idea. They're selling you a concept. So let's come back to home now. That's the most important part now. Therefore, our ideology, or the first part, is to be the ideology or life purpose. And therefore, it has to be an identity first. I just got to slip on that first one. There has to be an identity, a sambandha. We are not these machines. We are not just recipients of this media. We are unconscious being a part of God. When we give up over that relationship with God, then we become submitted, become completely enslaved to these external things. And therefore, when this identity comes, it becomes sambandha, our real relationship with life, with our purpose. And then comes the purpose, and then comes the identity is the wisdom, then comes the ideology, the process, and the process is to revive this relationship. And the implications is to their life essence, happiness, satisfaction, finer moments of receiving happiness. And that comes, this is basics which the Shastras give us. And the identity, ideology and implications is what we should live our lives on. Trying to revive our relationship with God. And that's how we go back to truth. First of all, we define authority of sanity. We need to become dhira. We cannot just become so much erupted, so much pecked with so much of external stimulations. We should have a sea of our own discrimination. We should have a depth in our life that comes by going deep into our own identity and our own function. Therefore, we define first what is our authority of sanity. We don't want to become insane creatures like them. Deride insanity that comes by prosperity. Once the money comes, comes the purchasing power. And then we think we can conquer the world. The whole world is after money because they think by buying money, by getting things, they'll become happy. But not by being. Happiness is not about getting. Happiness is by being what you are. So therefore, deride this insanity by prosperity. Be satisfied with whatever we get. Detach, involve. Involve elements of frugality, saralta. Make our life simpler, free of this consumerist propaganda. We have to be happy with simple things in life. Determine, mindset of clarity. That is called swachchata. Cheto darpana marjanam. We have to clean our consciousness that is being muddied with so much of stuff around us. We really need a heavy cleansing. We need a panch karma for our consciousness also. Really panch karma. Because karma is punching us badly. So we need panch karma. Therefore, we devise means of liberty to get freedom from this mad cycle. The Indians never fought any war because the Indians were in the ideology that this life is, this essence is non-material, this life is temporary, and the goal is to go back to Godhead. Who will rule us? Who will do anything to us? Is not the question. The question is, are we able to rule our own minds? Are we able to rule our own senses? And therefore, the real ruling was internal and not external. Therefore, they were concerned about ruling themselves internally. And that's why there should be Goswami, the control of the senses. And that's why we didn't fight much wars, actually, Indians. They never attacked in the history of nations. India was the one country which never attacked. Therefore, back to home is going back to basics. We are sambandh abhideya prayojan. We have a relationship with God. We have to revive it. There is a process. There is a satisfaction. The bliss that comes. The great sages have expressed that. Then back to home is back to truth. By clarity. By the swachchata. And we saw about saralta. All of these things. So now what to do practically? First thing is nourish relationship with earth enclaves. This tree. These plants. This earth, we have disconnected ourselves from the earth which feeds us, which nourishes us. And therefore, we have to go back and at least there was a prayer to the earth every day in the village. They would pray to the earth, they would pray to the trees. Trees were sacred. Why they were sacred? Because they would simply give. This was the culture that we have disconnected in our cemented reality. Awaken to responsibility of human being. The human being's first responsibility is to understand his own self. Athato brahma jigyasa. Therefore, tolerate the urges of ease and comforts. This will keep bombarding us as we go out again. If we cannot tolerate these urges, then we'll become messed up again. We'll go back to the same slide. We'll go through the whole circle without us knowing that we are in that circle. So please tolerate if you get an apple, Blackberry, don't just become too much overawed with that gadget. It's not all in all. That's not going to keep you becoming happy forever. Utilize facility for opportunity. The real opportunity is this, awakening. If we not take these chances for awakening, for hearing about all these things, then probably we were already swept away. Someone has a chance who has heard about it. One who has pondered upon it. And respect for all beings. None of us can actually kill someone else for our food. The meat industry is a horrible industry and there's hundreds of reasons to go vegetarian. Everyone is saying meatless Monday, and this the beef industry in the West is killing cows by millions. India is the third largest exporter of beef, mind you, trying to become a developing nation. And finally, evaluate the impact on the next generation. What are we going to give to the next generation? Back to the cow. Why do we say cow? Because it is complete ecology. Every being of its existence is in harmony with nature. The BBC just gave a documentary, and they were showing that the gobar or the cow dung releases a chemical called serotonin. And this it stimulates the brain to its finer levels of thinking and evaluation and improves the intelligence of a person. Therefore, the people who are living in the village playing with gober, they never fell immune to any diseases. That's why your grandfather, grandmothers, all of their teeth intact, all of their bones intact, no cancers. They didn't die with cancers. The current generation is dying with cancer. The previous generation died peacefully, that too, after a long time. Right? And not falling sick in the hospital for laying in the bed for long. Cow is complete ecology. It's everything is medicine. It is pure. It is saner. It is finer in its sentiments. It is the most. It represents earth in its equivalence. Cow gives food, milk, the miracle food, hundreds of items to be made from food, fuels, the biogas fuels are running rickshaws and trucks. Fertilizers are fertilizing, tilling the land. Medicines, there are unlimited medicines that are available. We have a counter below. Please do visit. And there is a list of medicines that are there for each diseases and which can be drawn from the cows. Medicine and nutrition, everything is there in the cow. And we sell the cow. We put the cow for slaughtering, butchering at 20,000 rupees. While it is a whole life, it gives 3 lakhs as revenue in its whole life. A single cow. Apart from other things that we can... So therefore, it is overall engine of progress. And we are giving it. Einstein told to C.V. Raman that if you ever give up, tell India, if India wants to survive, then it must do away with all tractors and come and use the bull and oxen for the agriculture. So this is Einstein told way back long to C.V. Raman, if India wants to survive. India is not like other nations. It is surviving on cow. And therefore, cow slaughter brings peace, harmony. 200 pounds of beef is consumption of an average American. Can you imagine that? So therefore, how can there be peace? There has to be world wars. The anisotropic waves that are released at the time of slaughtering of shrieking animals in pain causes the various cracks in the seismic structure leading to earthquakes. And all these natural disasters. So if we ever want world peace, we must ban. We must work for banning cow slaughter. We must protect the cows. We must give the cow its due importance in the Indian system. And there's much more on that. Therefore, we can now go home back to Godhead when we are on the land and cows. And that is called as holistic lifestyle based on sense control and sacrifice. Then comes optimum conduct based on equanimity of vision. Pandita Samadarshina, we should see on the spiritual platform, we must develop that, cultivate that kind of perspective. And home, or M, stands for malleable will, based on acceptance of the cosmic plan. God has given us a plan, God has given us a systematic way to live in this world happily. The Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, become malleable to Krishna's will. Don't become controlled. Don't become enslaved by these people. And therefore, enlightened heart is the result of this based on service and compassion. If this is there, and that's why Srila Prabhupada gave us a very easy method as given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is to cleanse, swachhata, simplify by chanting the holy names of the Lord, by coming and hearing in the association of devotees, by understanding what is avidya, what is vidya, and then by purifying our hearts and being aware of it and passing on to anyone else that we know, whom we know. And that is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this is Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. And if we do not come together and chant these holy names, for saving the whole world, saving the whole humanity, we will see ourselves getting slaughtered. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada gave us cow protection, Srila Prabhupada gave us farm communities, Srila Prabhupada gave the whole blueprint. Should we follow the blueprint for the new American century, or should we follow the blueprint for liberation from this world? Therefore, be vegetarian, go green. When packing lunch, these are handy tips. Go for reusable containers, avoiding plastic, because plastic contains that biophenol that A, that's the contamination which is causing the disappearing male syndrome. Males are being affected. There is change in the reproductive activity of the males, and the males are not able to accept that. And in fact, there is low birth rate of males now. And therefore, this is directly related to drinking water or eating in plastic. Right? This is directly connected because this chemical element interacts with the system. Use minimum amount of papers to save trees. These trees, they give us so much of air, oxygen. They help they hold back the soil in floods, and they do a lot of work for us. Don't just cut them for our trees. Newspapers are directly karma on trees. Just to hear this rubbish, just to get it enslaved, we are killing trees. Just see. This is newspaper, media. If you have all faith, please come and watch some of the documentaries and come and meet me. And you can get much more evidence. At least 80% more is remaining in terms of evidence. Use e-service for lists and messages. Turn over use document and write on the other side. If you want to remember something, plant a tree. Use solar lights and water heaters if possible. Buy only what is needed to reduce waste. Use old paper, turning off unnecessary lights. Each fan that is just going is taking a lot of energy from our nature. When cooking, match the size of the pan with the burner. No other choice to drive, work, pull car, share a rickshaw, share a taxi. Take care of water resources. Use the stairs instead of elevators. If you want to remember something, plant a tree again. And therefore, we have our Govardhan Eco Village as a solution to this. And we have started this drive. Gaurang Prabhu, His Grace, Sanat Kumar Prabhu are all involved in the project. You will get a lot of information downstairs. And this is not the last time we are getting involved. It's time to get involved. It's time for action. So we are also holding a follow-up program for those who want to get involved, who want to try to do something for themselves and for their present generation, the next generation, for the community and for the world as a whole. So 5 o'clock in the Bhaktivedanta Hall, we have a club for that called Shakshat, face-to-face with truth. So it's now the Shakshat action team. Those who would like to be a part of the action, please join to do something. Just don't watch this. If you're a little bit aroused, a little bit awakened, it's time to move out and getting to do something. The best way is to see for ourselves the happy way of living, the natural way of God's plan, how to become happy. Therefore, farm community, 110 kilometers, twofold purpose, sustainable community model, educate people in the field of traditional sciences. We have a team. We have a fantastic team of great PhDs and IITs, which eco-friendly housing, and we have organic farming. If you all want to come and do a little bit farming, this is the right season to come. Please come on some weekend, register. We have agriculture section downstairs. We'll teach you how to seed rice, paddies. Right? This is the time. In 15 days from now, we are going to do that at the farm. So if you ever want to go back to earth, just feel where your food comes from. Who gives you the food? Not these corporations. They give you toxins. Earth gives us the food. So do not chemical. Please try to go for organic. We want to preach to the villagers so that they will start doing organic farming. So we have another program called Eco Villages or Village Cultivation. So anyone wants to join their own villages, wants to start in your own place, your families or relatives wanted to go organic, we have expertise available for that. Please do ask for help if you want. We have a counter for Eco Villages. Register for there. And for Save Our Villages and Save Our Cows is the slogan. And therefore, there's alternative lifestyle consumables. If you're using that chemical toothpaste for contaminating your teeth and your tongue and your whole system, the cow has given so much fantastic tooth powder. And we have a cow